And our Lord, he's mad now, you know, you hypocrites. I mean, but he's still trying to give this guy a break. He argues like a rabbi. Well, is untying your ox or your ass and bringing them over to get some water, is that a work? Or is that a good deed? Is that something you should do? And if you can do that for an animal, then why can't you release a human being from their illness? And everybody was delighted, I guess, from the sounds of the way Luke describes it, except the ruler of the synagogue. He wasn't delighted. We are now in the middle of the letter to the Romans, in chapter 8 of the letter. We should ask the Holy Spirit to try to show us what is the reality Paul is talking about. See, he's a mystic, Paul. He's a very enlightened man. And he's been entrusted with the Word of God to teach the church until the Lord comes back. Now, he says, you know, brothers and sisters, we are not debtors to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Well, the flesh, as you know, is that innate drive in us toward self-aggrandizement, self-pleasure, self-promotion, sensuality. That's the flesh. It's a drive. Actually, it's a complex of drives, totally out of order, because their drive comes from the ego, and that's the flesh. So we're not indebted to the flesh. Those drives will kill us, and they could drag us to hell. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. It doesn't just mean physical death. Those drives of the flesh could kill us forever. Is it a battle? Oh my goodness. Of course it is, and you know that. But now he goes on to describe the other side of this situation. And it's here that we should really ask for light. You see, but if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Why does he say the deeds of the body there instead of the flesh? They're not the same, right? There's nothing wrong with the body. It's made by God. It's going to be with us forever. But the body is the seat of operations for the flesh. That's where all these self drives manifest themselves. They work through the body. That's why. So that's why he talks about the deeds of the body. You know that. He says, but you got to put them to death. That's what mortification means, literally. Mors facere, you know. Okay. Here comes this wondrous part now. Trying to give us a sense of our identity. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Sons of God belong to his family. Our brother is Jesus Christ. Those of us who are led by the Spirit are sons, are children of God. Isn't that amazing? You know? Now he tries to show us how true that is. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear. When we operate on the flesh, the primary drive in us is fear. That's what you see. I mean, go into some big office, multi-million dollar office downtown, and watch closely What's driving those people? The flesh, probably. That means then fear. Fear. You see, you didn't fall back into fear. You received a spirit of adoption by which, through which, we cry, Abba, Father. Abba is a word of great respect and tenderness. It doesn't mean daddy. Of all the things it could mean, it never means daddy. That's too sentimental. It's just not what it means. It's a deeper, deeper thing. Even when a student calls his rabbi Abba, it's great respect, love, you see. Now, to know exactly what that is, we have to ask the Holy Spirit to show us. This is the word that Jesus used all the time for his Father, Abba. You see, literally it means the Father, Abba, or the, it's called emphatic state, it's called in Hebrew. You know. He says things like, now according, you know, regarding the day and the hour, nobody knows except Abba. Now we translate that, the Father, and now it's all a big abstract, whatever. We use the best we can do. But nobody knows but Abba. Well then, Lord, teach us to pray. When you pray, say, Abba. Now it becomes in Matthew a echo of a Jewish liturgical prayer. Avinu shebashemayim. Our Father, all our, Yabara, all of us. Huh? But if you look at Luke, he has a different way of saying this. He says, when you pray, say, Father. So what is he saying? When you pray, say, Abba. That's the gift I've given you. That's the gift I will earn for you by my blood and my resurrection. That you can say, Abba, to God. And know that he's your Father, but that he's a Father with, you know, fatherhood consists of two things, tenderness and truth. When a man learns to live by those, you see, he's a father. Some guys are good at tenderness, not so hot at truth. Some guys are good at truth, but not so good at tenderness, you see. Tenderness and truth. Why? Because that's who Abba is. I'm tempted to tell you. I guess I will. I'm a scripture scholar, in case you didn't know. Well, I was about 19. I hadn't turned 20. Maybe I just turned 20. I was in the monastery, and I was kneeling in church praying. And all of a sudden, this prayer, Abba, Abba, Abba started in me. And it was delightful. When it was over, I thought to myself, I think that's in Scripture someplace. That's how much I knew. But the truth of this, you see, Abba, the Spirit himself bears witness. And then the Spirit bears witness, there is no mistaking. This isn't, this is my emotions, or this is my whatever. No. This is the prayer. The privilege of saying this prayer. And we are taught to say it. When you pray, if you look at Luke, when you pray, say Father. That is, when you pray, say Abba. Yitkadesh Shemach. The first thing, glorify your name. May all the world appreciate how great you are. Oh, Father, you rule the world. Take it over, my God. You can see what a mess we're making of it. You be the judge. You be the, you know, Abba. And this is forever. You see. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That's how you know. You can read every book ever written. and not get it. And you can read no books and get it, because it's a work of the Holy Spirit. You see? If we're children, then heirs. Did you know that? You know, my Father owns the whole universe, and I'm his heir. I don't have to get it when he dies. I have it now. He's never going to die. He's eternal. I own the whole world. Heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. Jesus is the Lord of the universe, and we're caught up into him. You see. If only we suffer with him so that we may be glorified with him. Because we get to be like him. And the suffering, yeah, the suffering is from sin. Our sin and everybody else's sin. But if we lay hold of that and share the preoccupation of Abba, which is the salvation of all his children on earth. And all these poor guys thinking they're smart, you know, there's no God that was characterized the infancy of the human race. Now we know better. We're going to form a world government. It's the Tower of Babel all over again. And God is saying, I want to show you my face so that you weep with joy at who you really are, because now you know who I really am. Now this is not beyond our reach. All we have to do is be available. Pray. Pray. Get the Holy Spirit. Pray. Abba. And now you know where it is. I didn't. You see, it's Romans 8. Pray. This is our privilege. And it's a word of such, well, you can do all the etymology you want, but if you want to know what it really means, the Holy Spirit has to teach you.